Father, we just truly do thank you this morning for just being here. Father, we just thank you that you are who you are, and you do what you do, and you do it better than we could ever do it. So this morning, I'm just thanking you that you're in our midst. You are ministering to the people that came out to sit at your table. And the Father God, the perfect works is being completed this day. We thank you for your anointing that destroys every yoke. We thank you for your Son Jesus and his blood. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is so evident in each and every one of your services. And Father God, we welcome your glory in all of its fullness. It can fall, Father God. Change us, rearrange us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is trying to get the body of Christ to be connected to him totally and completely, 100%. Why? So that we can be a true witness to the lost that God is bringing into the house of the Lord. I was talking to some young people yesterday, and they said that the churches aren't geared for them. We're geared for the older people, and that is true. Most churches are. But it's they know what they're talking about. And they said, it's young people you have to be reaching out to. Now, before you can reach out to the young people, does he go to the nursery? Before you can reach out to the young people, you yourself have to be stabilized. You yourself have to know who you are in Christ. And as I look around, everyone in here knows who you are in Christ, don't you? It doesn't matter what your life was all about. You know you're a child of God, right? And the devil can't take that away from you. He absolutely cannot take that away from you ever. So whenever he comes to tell you differently, you just tell him to get lost. We are a child of God, and that does not change. God knows everything about us. He formed us in our mother's wombs, and our books of life are already written. He knows exactly the little side roads we're going to take, and he knows exactly where we're going to end up at. If you listen to the music that's out there today, it's all talking about how wonderful God is, getting close to God, and that how God's always with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. And God is really trying to get everybody geared up to understand that you are not alone. I don't care what you're going through. It's good times, bad times, in between. You are never alone. God is always with you. Amen. I like the Toby Mac songs because he talks about life. You know, he lives life, and so he sings life. And if you really start listening, to the songs that all the people are putting out right now, they're all singing about life. It's what's going on in their life and how God came, you know, and brought them through all that stuff. And then that should make you feel good. Hey, you hear these famous people are, and look what they had to go through and are still going through to be a child of God. And if you stop and think about it, these people out there that are singing and everything, the devil's fighting them more than he is you, because they're bringing forth the truth in praise and worship. And we all know that praise and worship is very important to God. And anytime you're really having a hard time, if you're really walking with God and you're really in tune to music, God will put a song in your heart. And that song will see you through, and it'll just keep going over and over and over. That song will see you through whatever troubling time that you're in. You even wake up in the middle of the night singing it, you know, because that's a song that God has put in your spirit to minister to you, to bring you through the dark times that we all have to go through. All right, this morning we're going to talk about interconnection. God says, my children, you must get connected to your inner connection. You must understand every aspect of your inner man. And Romans 7:22 says, "For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the member of my body." Concur means be in accord, be in agreement. Paul's saying my inner man is okay, but my outer man is still fighting. All right? Then Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." That is a really powerful chapter, and you really should read that over and over again and get that down in your spirit. It's all talking about the inner man, not the outer man. And if you have the spirit within the inner man, you can fight any battle. All right, the inner man is another way of describing the spiritual aspect of a person. The outer man, by contrast, would be the visible external aspect of a person. And in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul asks for spiritual blessings, which are the best blessings. Strength from the Spirit of God in the inner man, strength in the soul, the strength of faith to serve God and to do our duty. Now, if the law of Christ is written in our hearts and the love of Christ is shed abroad there, then Christ dwells there. Where his Spirit dwells, there he dwells. And God's been telling us that he's cleaning us from the inside out. And he has to get rid of all the junk on the inside so he can pour his new wine into us. He wants that inner man cleansed totally and completely because he's ready to pour that his glory into us. And he wants us to be able to carry that glory and not taint it. Then God says, "My children, you must get connected to your inner connection. You must understand every aspect of your inner man. Your inner man has a real source of information that you need to glean from. In your inner man is a well of living waters that never runs dry." And God tells you this all the time. "Out of your belly shall run rivers of living water." Out of your belly, not off of your shoulders, but out of your belly. "As you draw from this well, you will receive heavenly knowledge that will allow you to do great and mighty feats for the kingdom of light." You have to draw from what's inside, not what's from outside around about you. Draw from what you have down in there. All the stuff God's given us, it's in there. And we have to draw from it and quit allowing the enemy to make us believe that we don't have any power and authority. God goes on to say, "This inner man has within it many secrets to my kingdom that will allow you to not only draw from wells of living waters, but it will allow you to flow more freely with the Spirit. Then, as you flow more freely with the Spirit, you will first attain great power to restore yourselves to wholeness, and then be able to go forth with that same resurrection power and restore others to their rightful place in me." Now, how many of you have to keep telling the devil that he is a liar and that you do have all power and all authority and Christ lives in you and dwells there richly, and so therefore the enemy has no place in you? You know, I don't think there's enough room for the glory, all the glory of God inside of us, and a little bit of darkness too. You know, God's trying to get all light in there, all of himself in there. And then if the darkness tries to come in, all that light will push it out. So we have to be continually, you know, refreshing that light within, continually pulling on the things that God has already told you. God told me years ago that he says, because I cannot memorize the Bible. I've tried that. He's all you have to do is read it. And whatever you have inside of you, when I need to, I can pull that out of you, out of the inner man. So if you're reading the word, what you're reading is going inside of you. And when God needs to pull it out, he can pull it out because it's there. But if you don't feed the inner man, if you don't do anything, there's nothing to draw from. You know, I am, God says, I am calling upon you this day to come forth out of darkness or hiding and go forth with healing in your wings and heal this nation. This nation has been torn apart piece by piece and it needs total healing. There is a mighty works for you to accomplish, and the only way you can accomplish this works is through the knowledge of the workings of the inner man. Now, you stop there. You stop to think of what's really going on in the world and stop to see what the media is doing. Now, if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling richly inside of you, when you read something, the Holy Spirit's going to let you know this is truth or this is false. And if you don't have that Holy Spirit inside of you, you know, that can draw on, you're going to walk around believing everything you read or hear. So we really have to be walking in the Spirit right now, because so much is going on out there that is not true. This, all right, let me just also say this for you in here who are prophets and who are called to be leaders. If you don't feed the inner man, how are you going to feed anybody else? Because you can't draw from the things of the world. You just can't do that. You have to draw that from the things of heaven, which you have stored inside of you. How do you get that there? You read, you pray, you listen to what God says. And every time God tells you something, you store that up in your inner man, and you can pull that out and tell somebody else and feed them too. You know, if you're talking to somebody, you say, well, this is what God told me today. And you know, then just start relating what God spoke to you. And really, it will always minister the person you're talking to, because God will only pull up what's needed at that given moment. Are you listening? Somebody told me yesterday, he said, well, you gave us a good foundation, and then they got messed up. But now we're going back to that good foundation, and we're pulling from that. So see, what they're doing is they're pulling from their inner man. And they're throwing away all the garbage that they've been taught and this and that and the other. And now they're pulling on God again. See how you do with people? What you have inside is what you pull out and give to them. And God will root through all that stuff, get the page of the book that he needs to pull out, and then he'll start sharing that with them through you. All right, God said, this knowledge of the workings of the inner man will come out of your intimacy with me. As you walk in total intimacy with me, your maker, he's your maker, you will understand all heavenly things, for I have created you to have full knowledge of how the heavenly kingdom operates at all times. And isn't that what God's been talking to us about? He said he wants to take us to heaven, even to hell, so we understand how both these places are operating. Now, you know, like I said, I've been to hell. And when I'm talking to people and they start, you know, saying the Bible's not real, hell's not real, and heaven's not real, then I start pulling on this stuff that God showed me when he took me to hell. And then you give them scriptures to back it up. And that changes their mind. So if God decides to take you to hell, have a good time. You know, see everything you can see and learn everything you can learn, because God's going to use that information in the future. Now, God said, as you draw from the knowledge that is in your inner man, you will find yourselves walking and talking only those things that I have ordained you to do. And yesterday somebody said to me, well, what's God saying to you? And I said, he's not saying nothing. But he's always talking to you, but right now he's not saying nothing. So I have nothing to say, you know? And if God's not pulling it out at that point, they don't need to hear it or they won't understand it. So don't be saying things just to say something. Only say what God is saying through you. All right? You're not important. God is important. So if you're just wanting to say something, you're trying to make yourself sound important. And God's the one that you want to glorify. All right? God says, come now and gather yourselves unto me and draw from the rivers of living water and go forth and conquer in all sides. Then God said, there is a final gathering of the saints time, and you are the harvesters that I have chosen. As you continued to grow in me, I was doing a perfect works in your inner man, and I was causing you to see more clearly how my spirit works within and around about you. Now let's just stop there a second. You know, how many of you know that years ago God has given you information about what's going to happen in the world today? And so it doesn't matter what anybody says, you know what God told you. And this is what you hold on to. Just like God told me years ago that Wade and Roe was going to be overturned. And I just would say, well, God said it's going to be overturned. That was the bottom line for me. God said it, and it was going to happen. And it did. And God, the other day I was praying, and God said, daughter, I want you to know one thing. The first time you pray about a situation, whatever I tell you when you pray about that situation is exactly what's going to happen. And he said, you can bring this thing to me as many times as you want and turn it any way you want. But what I told you originally is how it's going to turn out. See, and he told me people keep bringing this subject to him because they want to hear something different. But the very first thing he told you is his will for your situation. All right? Or you might, you know, he tells you something, just this is what I was doing. He told me how things are going to turn out. And then listening to everybody else, I went back to God and said, God, how is this going to turn out? He says, exactly like I told you it was going to turn out. See, I was getting into doubt and unbelief, right? All right, so let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 3 and check out the prayer Paul prayed for our inner man to be strengthened. Paul's prayer is that we are tied more and more closely with Christ. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, it's as if we invite him to come and make our hearts his home. But in a very real sense, he is not yet at home there until he takes full possession of every area of your life. He takes us on a tour of our hearts. He takes a look at a room that is behind a locked door and says, child, I would like to go into this room. Would you please hand me the key? We might be very unwilling to do so. We might be afraid to let him in that room because of what we keep in it. No, Lord, I keep that room locked for a reason. There are things in there that would not be appropriate for you to see. I have some favorite sins and habits I keep in there. I'd rather not go in there. For Jesus to dwell in our hearts by faith would require that we give him the key to that room. It would be as if he says, child, your heart is now my home, and I must make myself at home everywhere, even in this locked room. Give me the key, and let's clean out this room of the things that don't belong in your life so that I can truly be at home in every area of your heart. Now, later on, he takes us to a closet. Sniffs and says, child, there's something smelling in this closet. Open the door to me and let me have a look inside. And we say, no, Lord, not that closet, because that's where I've been keeping the resentment and bitterness that I've been holding on to against someone. It's been there for years. You can have access to everywhere else, but let's just leave that closet alone. Believe me, you don't want to open that closet. But God says, child, if I can't go into this closet, then I'm not really at home in your heart. Open the door and let's go in and clean those awful putrid things out so I can truly be at home in your heart. Then later on, still, he says, let's go have a look in the basement. You were afraid he might say that. Oh, Lord, you say, please, no, let's not go into the basement. I have things in my past that I'm deeply afraid of down there, horrible things that I tried to forget. It's dark down there, and those old things are very frightening and very ugly. I'd rather keep them there under lock and key so they won't ever be free to bother me. Let's just pray on the upper levels where it's well lit and happy. But the Lord says, child, if I can't have full access to the basement and you with me when I go there, then I'm not really at home in your heart. Take my hand. Let's go down there, turn on the lights, and conquer those things together. And later on still, God says, I would like to have a look at the attic now. And once again, you groan, oh, no, 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 Lord, 1,000 times no. Not up there. That's where I keep my thought life. And I sure don't want you to see what goes on up there. That's where I go to think about things I don't want you to see. And once again, he says, child, if I don't have the attic, then I'm not really at home in your heart. Open the door to me. Let's go up the stairs together and clean out what's in your mind. Let me be the Lord of your thought life, and then I can be truly at home in every area of your heart. How many times has he come to you and you do the same thing? There's areas you won't let him touch because you want to hold on to them. So then Paul prays for us that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, truly dwell there. He prays that the Lord may gain access to every room in the house so that he can truly make himself at home. And you can see now why Paul said that he prays that we would be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. We would need all of the strength that the Spirit provides in order for Jesus to make himself at home in every areas of our hearts. Don't tell me that you don't have rooms in your life that you really don't want God to mess in. There's areas of your life that you don't want him to have full access to. And until you give him full access to every area of your life, he's not really in your heart. You don't trust him. Or you just like the sins that you're hiding in those different areas. All right, let's talk about the fullness of God in Ephesians 3:19. Paul doesn't pray that we might be filled full with God. Rather, he prays something remarkable, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. And hasn't God been telling us that he wants us to have all of him, every bit of him? Paul's prayer is something that is definitely a continuous process. No matter how much we grow, there is more fullness to fill us. But how can we, little creatures that we are, be filled with all the fullness of someone that the universe itself could not contain? God wants to dwell within us richly, right now. He needs us to be full of him in order to face the darkness that we're headed into. And we're already in the darkness, but there's so much more darkness, a gross darkness that's coming. And we have to be full of God in order to be able to face those giants. The apostle means what he says by the fullness of God. We are to understand all those gifts and graces which he has promised to bestow on men and which he dispenses to the church. Every one of you sitting here this morning, you can have the fullness of God. I'm telling you, if you really and truly have the fullness of God, the enemy won't be able to come up and blindside you. He just won't. Because God always warns you beforehand of what the enemy is about to do to you, to your loved ones, to those around about you. I was having a conversation the other day with three other people, and they were saying what they thought was going to happen about a given situation. In fact, they said that is what was going to happen. And God said, it's not going to play out like that. He said to me, quietly, it's not going to play out like that. See, when you have the fullness of God in you, God's not going to let you be sidetracked. He's not going to let you be deceived. I didn't say a word because everybody I was talking to would have thought I was crazy. But how God said it's going to work out is going to be all right. But it's not going to work out the way they say it's going to work out. Are you understanding this? Everyone in here should have such a fullness of God in them that God can speak to you quietly while everybody else is around about you to tell you the truth and not to be deceived. To be filled with all the fullness of God is to have the entire soul filled with meekness, gentleness, goodness, love, justice, holiness, mercy, and truth, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, God keeps telling me that the people in the church aren't walking in the Spirit. And I was reading an article the other day, the Soul Refiners or whoever that is, and this counselor who's been counseling people in perversion for years and years, he said that not one person who walks in perversion is filled with the Holy Spirit. He said he's found that out by counseling these people. He said, because if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you won't be able to do perversion because you'll have all of God in there. And God won't let that stuff come in. And so, and now I understand what God means when he says the people in the church are not walking in the Spirit. Because you have all your junk that you carry around. And if you're truly walking in the Spirit, that junk would have to leave. You know, our vessels are not meant for God and the devil to live in. Our vessels are for God only. Are you understanding that? Okay, where am I at? The entire soul. All right, and what God fills, neither sin nor Satan can fill. Okay, there it is. And what God fills, neither sin nor Satan can fill. Consequently, it implies that the soul shall be emptied of sin, that sin shall neither have dominion over it, nor a being in it. Are you listening here? So I ran across this statement. There is no end to the merits of Christ, no bounds to the mercy and love of God, no limits to the improbability of the human soul, so there can be no bounds set to the saving influence which God will dispense to the heart of every believer. We may ask and we shall receive, and our joy shall be full. So we read that. You know, do you know we can have faith for something but not believe for that thing? You know, I can have faith that I'm healed, but yet I don't believe that. God showed me that. He said, you have to believe. The Word of God said, when you pray and believe, then you shall receive. It doesn't say when you pray and have faith, you shall receive. When you believe, we all have faith. We all have a measure of faith. But we're going to have to believe that that thing's going to come to pass. And if God tells you there's something's going to turn out a certain way, you have to believe that that's going to turn out that way in order to receive it. Does that make sense to you? All right. In his letter to the Colossian believers, Paul speaks of Jesus Christ and says, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness of God should dwell. And that's in Colossians 1:19. Later he writes in Colossians 2:9-10, for in him, that is in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Let's read that scripture again. For in him, that is in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Let's get back to that thing about the Holy Spirit where the gentleman said it. If you're into perversion, you don't have the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that leads, guides, and directs you. It's the Holy Spirit who works with you and tells you exactly what to do and when to do it. So if you're, you know, have any sin whatsoever and you're not full of the Holy Spirit, why do you think you have the right to say, Holy Spirit, you need to lead God and direct me? Because, see, you won't get rid of that sin. And then once you get rid of that sin, then it's the Holy Spirit that gives you the strength to stay out of that sin. I'm going to tell you guys, there's a place in God where you can go. And you can dwell in the fullness of God. There is a place. And in that place, God will always speak to you. I don't care what, he can wake you up. I don't care what time of day or night it is. God will speak to you and tell you of things that's going to happen. If you have the fullness of God in you, that is why when God will say, pray for this person, or pray, you know, you'll be doing something. All of a sudden you have this, something's not right. And he'll say, pray for this one right now. Do it quickly. And, you know, it's because you have the fullness of God in you and he trusts you and he knows he can come any time of the day or night and speak to you and that you will obey. All right. I mean, you young kids here, you know, you're trying to get your lives together. Do you know, while you're trying to get your lives together, you could, God could talk to you about your friends and you could go and say, that, well, God showed me this about you. Even when you're trying to get your life together, God knows your heart and he knows whether or not you really are serious about getting cleaned up and following him. And one of the reasons why he uses you to do that is to speak into somebody else's life. He's trying to build confidence in you. He's trying to let you say, you know, I really do have faith in you and I'm trying to teach you. I can trust you with another soul. All right. All right, then, to the degree that Jesus occupies every portion of our lives, to that degree we are filled with all the fullness of God. To the degree that Jesus occupies every portion of our lives, to that degree we are filled with all the fullness of God, because all the fullness is found in him. And in Colossians 3:11, Paul writes, Christ is all and is in all. Colossians 3:20, now Paul concludes with, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. All unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And Romans 12:1-2 implores us not to be conformed to this world's way of thinking. Rather, our bodies must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. This mind renewal comes about as we follow the Holy Spirit free. I'm sorry, as we allow the Holy Spirit free reign within our inner man. He begins to change our actions and desires to match his. You're going to have to say, Holy Spirit, come into me. I give you full and complete and total reign to lead me in any way that God wants you to lead me, because God tells the Holy Spirit what to do. But he's a gentleman, the Holy Spirit is. He will not come in where he's not welcome. So you're going to tell him, you are welcome in this vessel, and I want to be filled with nothing but God. So if there's anything in me, I do this all the time. We have to check ourselves all the time. If there's anything that's crept in me that's not of God, please, Holy Spirit, take it out of me. I want to stay pure and holy and righteous before a pure and holy and righteous God. You know, we are in a state right now in the church where God needs true believers. There's been so much doubt and unbelief and sin in the house of God that is pathetic. But right now, God needs true believers. He needs vessels of honor that he can work through like never before. And you know, the years I've been preaching, I have seen such a decline, and haven't you, in the houses of God. You know, and leaders are just, you know, they're not what they should be. Your praise and worship leaders aren't what they should be. There's just sin all throughout the church, and God's trying to clean his church up. You know, if you're smoking pot and you go to somebody and say, Jesus Christ can deliver you from that, yeah, they're not going to believe you because you're still smoking pot. You see what I'm saying? Or if you're watching pornography, yeah, and you're trying to tell them all about Jesus. Well, if Jesus is a great, why are you still looking at pornography? It's a battle to keep the enemy from coming in. Now, he's always going to be around about you, but you have to work really hard at not allowing a door to be opened. Church, we can do this, or God wouldn't ask us to. We can do this. And in the fall, God's going to drop his glory in all of its fullness. And if you're not right then, it's going to be too late to get right. Because when he drops his glory, souls are going to start coming into the house of God. And you're going to have to be able to minister to these people. And you can't minister to them living half-truths. You're going to have to be real, really real. And you're going to have to be where people can look straight through you. You can't have anything hidden in your life. You can't have a bottle in the closet running, drink it when nobody's looking. You know, something like that. You know, you have to be open so people can trust you. Okay, where are we at? Romans 8, 13 and 14 tells us, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We have to be continually led by the Spirit. It is God's desire and design for human beings that we live always directed by the born-again nature, or the inner man, which is in step with God's Spirit. See, when you got, this is why people say, I'm born again, and I look at you and, no, you're not. You're still the same person that you were before. When you're born again, you're supposed to change. Amen. You know, people shouldn't see the old person. They should see a brand new person. That's how I became born again. A friend of mine was changed overnight. And I wanted what she had. I mean, I always went to church, but never born again. Because she had something that I needed. And it was the Holy Spirit. It was Christ. You see that? You can go to church all your life, you know, and still not be saved. People need to understand that. All right, it's God's desire for, is that where I'm at, for human beings that we live always directed by their born-again nature, the inner man, which is in step with God's Spirit. But our fallen natures want to rule, and so a spiritual battle rages. You know, years ago, somebody said, God is not playing us like chess. And so, and I said, you know, God said, we're in a chess game. It went too long ago after that, that somebody wrote an article, God is not playing chess with us. And 2 days ago, I read an article where God said that the chess game is over and he's won. So what I'm saying is, you know, people aren't going to always believe what you say God's told you. And maybe sometimes you just need to be quiet. You know, and not say anything. Keep it to yourself. All right, the extent to which we surrender that inner man to the control of the Holy Spirit is the extent to which we walk in continual victory over our fallen flesh. See that? To the extent that you yield to the Holy Spirit, that's the extent of freedom that you're going to have. What did God say to us in the beginning? He said, your inner man has a real source of information that you need to glean from. In your inner man is a well of living waters that never runs dry. As you draw from this well, you will receive heavenly knowledge that will allow you to do great and mighty feats for the kingdom of light. Did God not tell us that we were going to have revelation knowledge that nobody else had. How are we going to get it? From the inner man, what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. Not what we read with some other man says. You know, some of this stuff in the media about President Trump now, you know, every now and then I stop to read an article and God will say, don't even bother with that. And so if I wasn't led by the Holy Spirit, he wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say that to me. He let me go ahead and read it. Anyhow, he said, why do you need all that garbage inside of you when I have such rich things I'm going to put inside of you? You know? And God has said how everything's going to turn out. So we need to move on to souls. Not worried about what's going on in the government. We pray. We pray. But we don't let it engulf us. You know what your calling is. You know, Brother Chris's calling is for politics. God told me to stay out of politics. I have a hard time with that, but I have to keep that going, all right? So whatever your calling is, that's where you stay in with God. And you allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth about it. But I would be very careful about what I read with what other men write. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you could put something out there that's not true. Now, if you're walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you at all times what is true and what is false. Somebody was at my house yesterday and they're pregnant. And they said, Mom, what's the baby going to be? I said, I don't know. Well, ask God. He tells you all kinds of things. I said, I'm not going to ask him. I said, you'll find out. You know, that's not important to me. And they're going to get, a sonogram or whatever that thing you have in a couple of weeks. So they'll find out then. There's just some things, you know, you don't need to clutter your mind with or your inner man with. We have more important things to do, church. And I hope and pray that each one of you in here this morning have decided, God, the Holy Spirit can have full and total complete control of me because I want you to tell me what's going on in my life, in my loved one's life, in the world. So I know how to direct other people. People are going to come to you and I, and they're going to say, what should we do? Now, are you going to give them your piece of your mind, or are you going to let the Holy Spirit start speaking through you and tell them? Just like I tell people, I'm not hearing God right now, so I can't tell you nothing. Somebody wrote a month ago and wanted a word. Every day I looked at that, and finally 2 days ago, it gave me the word. But yeah, I couldn't write the word until he gave it. Are you understanding this? The Holy Spirit told me that they weren't ready to receive the word a month ago, but they were ready to receive it 2 days ago. God, you need to understand God knows all things and really understand that. Just don't go around saying things. How is your inner man connected with the Holy Spirit? Have you totally surrendered every room to him? Do you say, you know, no matter how much it's going to hurt, Holy Spirit, just come in and take out whatever's not of God. You know, we might have a child that we love with every fiber of our being. And we just say, Holy Spirit, you know, just don't let them get hurt. But God needs them to get hurt. He's trying to teach them a lesson. And he tells me, he's a daughter, are you going to give them to me or are you going to tie my hands? And no matter how much it hurts me, I have to say, God, they're yours. I lay them on the altar and then, you know, as I cry, I walk away. Then I watch all the junk they go through. And God said, don't come back to me with it. Leave it in my hands. He said, I'll take care of it and you'll be all right. Everything will turn out all right. So let's quit taking things into our own hands. Let's just give everything to God. Let the Holy Spirit, you know, get connected with the Holy Spirit like you never have before. And let the Holy Spirit lead God and direct you. Jesus said, when I go away, I will give you another helper. Now we have an addition, though. God said, now he's also on the scene. We have the Holy Spirit, but God's also on the scene. Because he said there's things that I need to accomplish at this given time. So we not only, we have two big guns there. God and the Holy Spirit. Now his glory is going to fall in the fall. This fall. Not next fall. Do you see what kind of dynamite house you are? If you just give yourself over to God, totally and completely. I mean, you are the biggest power of dynamite I've ever seen. And God's going to use us. God is really going to use us. You have to believe that. You have to believe that God's going to use. God has said that this other, us older guys, he needs us around because we're going to help the younger ones. So don't think you're finished because you're not finished. You know, you're just beginning. So let's just get excited. Let's just know that the Holy Spirit knows everything that's going on all around. And right now there's a lot of confusion. How many know, feel the confusion in the atmosphere? You know, the devil's trying to make you think, well, did you really hear God? You know, is this really going to happen? And you have to get rid of that and tell the Holy Spirit, only you do I hear. Only you, because God, Jesus said he's going to lead God and direct us in all things. It's only you that I give permission to lead God and direct me. Not my flesh. And we all know our flesh wants to come alive, right? It does not want to be crucified at all. And we know it's stupid, our flesh is. So let's just kill it right now. And God's saying, some of you in here, you've been angry with God for too long. And you need to just get over it and dwell with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to heal those areas in you that causing you to be upset with God. You know, God will let us go through anything to let Satan know that we are not going to leave God. He will. We studied it. We read it. It's in the scripture. So please do yourself a favor this morning. Quit being upset with God. You know, some of the things, the tests and trials you're going through is to prove even to you how strong you are. You know? How much faith do you have in God that he has your back? I know without a shadow of a doubt that God has all of me. Now, if you don't feel that this morning, that if you don't believe that God has all of you, the altar is open for you to come up here, and God's going to touch you and reveal to you that he truly does have all of you. You're even going to have visions where God's, not this morning, but God's going to give you visions where you're going to see where God's always had all of you, all of your life, your loved ones, he's had you. And that's what the altar's open for. He wants to be able to open up your spiritual eyes to see what he's been doing with your life, all of your life. We all need that too. You know, God will take me back and show me, all right here. And then he shows me where he was with me in that situation. That right there will set you free from a whole lot of bondage that the enemy has you in. Now, if there's nobody in here who wants that anointing, for God to show you in the spirit realm where he's been with you. And I'm going to tell you one thing else. He just told me to tell you that when he touches you, you're also going to be able to see into the future of your own life. And God's going to show you where you're going to and how it's going to turn out. Remember how he told Peter he bound him with a belt? And he told Peter he wouldn't be free anymore. Men would lead him. Remember that? And this is what God wants to do with you this morning.